how we were created. When you go back to the original Hebrew and the language that was written, it literally says that God cast his image on the ground. And that from the dirt of the ground he formed. He didn't create man. It says he formed man from that which was created. Interesting, isn't it? He formed man from that which he had already created. And then when he formed man like a potter to clay, and I know that you can't fathom this in your three-dimensional, how could dirt become circulatory systems and heart systems and such like that? We'll start analyzing what's in dirt. How does a sanctuary like this become a sanctuary like this from timber? Starts as a tree, right? And then look what you get. From the materials of just simply going out and chopping down a tree and you can get a house. Well, God can take that which is of the earth and form this house. Still doesn't have life till he breathes his life into us. And then he breathes his very essence into man and we're created in his image. It literally means like he took a shadow. His shadow was just cast up. We look like God. How do we know that? Jesus walked this planet for 33 and a half years. And we look like him. Not just externally, but internally. And Pastor Don testified to that this morning. And sometime he's going to share with you. He just got back from Mexico and how, you know, people were growing out limbs. You know, he's actually, the things that we're desiring more of, I'm going to say more because it's happening, but more of here are going on with hungry and thirsty people that are craving and throwing their faith out there and saying, God, we want more. In order for to have more, we have to know what God's image is of us. Why do I say that? Because your image of you won't cut it. If you go by your own image and by your history and by everything that you've ever been through, the image that you have of yourself is probably very small. But today and next week, I want to go over what God says about you. When Satan approaches his throne, if he can still do that, he did it for Job, and says, how about Teresa? Well, let me tell you about Teresa. And then he'll say the same thing about Dan and Ann. Let me tell you about my children. They did this, they did all that, they did all that. And God's going, they did what? I don't see anything. Oh, but God, it's him. All I see is the blood. When we get a hold of that, it will change the way we live and move and have our being. We'll be out of our own shoes and be putting on size heavens and walking this planet. Let's pray. Father, I pray today will be the beginning of an understanding that will come and received in faith, so that when we walk and we talk and we live and move and have our being, we do so from God's perspective, not our own and not our neighbors and not our enemies and not our teacher or gym teacher or past husband or past wife or whatever, but that we understand and know how you view us when we get up in the morning, what's being said in heaven. Help us today, God, because when we get that, God, it'll change us. In Jesus' name. I got to start with a word of caution, though, when we study God's image of us that every believer should heed. And here it is. Do not allow one or two successes or even one or two failures to form a lasting image inside of you that governs your entire outlook on life and how God feels about you. Do not take an incident in your life and form an image of yourself that pretty much says, this is who I am, based on life experience, one or two or three, either good or bad. Teenagers often commit suicide. Why? Because they base their entire image of themselves on a rejection from another person. So teenage suicide is so high because if they lose their first love, that teenager that they fell in love with, and they say no, they think that life has said no to them and God has said no to them and there's no abundance and there's nothing more for them to live for. It's a wrong attitude to have. You cannot base who you are on any one or two or three experiences in your life. You have to base it on what God says about you, regardless of what you see, taste, touch, or feel. Those senses were given to you to relate to this world, to interact in and out of this world with the people in this world. They were not given to you to interact with God. God breathed in you His Spirit so you could interact with Him. So you have to trust your spirit over your feelings, over your physical senses. Your physical man's going to die, folks. It's going back to the very dirt God created you from, formed you from. Amen. It will be no more. But you will still be. How could I be outside of my body? Oh, come on. Do we have to even get into that? Talk to people that have gone on and come back. How you can be outside your body in thought. Because you're a spirit first. These bodies are just given to us so that we could relate to the world in which God placed us for now. So don't base your image on yourself that way. Even Christians tend to believe God is against them. Listen, not just from failures. Because of previous failures or even the opposite, that God is for them because of a few successes. Even when you know you're blood bought, you can believe that. But here's the key. Neither condemnation of the devil or commendation of man dictates God's image of us. I'm going to say it one more time. Neither condemnation from the devil or evil or commendation, applauds and plaudits from men should dictate who you are. Who you really, really are in all of eternity, which begins now. You're in it. That is dictated by and only by Almighty God. And what He says goes. I don't know, the best laid plans of men will fail when God says it's time to do what He wants to do. And He'll let us do some stuff, especially if we're in line with Him. But He'll come against those things that are not in line with Him. And if you're in line with those things that come against Him, it'll be you. We need to understand that God is the source of truth. God's Word is truth that reveals who we really are and how He regards us. So by getting into the Word of God, right here, you can see for yourself the way God sees you. And God says He sees us like He does Jesus. God says that He sees us. This Word, which is forever settled in heaven, and He's not a man that He should lie, says that He sees us right now. Not later, when we get to heaven. He says that He sees us like Jesus right now. 1 John 3. John, the beloved disciple, writes this. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. In other words, can you imagine us? Mere mortals, being called children of the Most High spiritual God. And such we are. Not has been or will be. Such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us. Why? Because it did not know Him. The world can't relate to us having an image of ourselves that is different than what they say we are. They can't relate to the fact that we can say and press through our circumstances, even when we don't see it happening, that we're healed, even though we're still snotting and all that stuff. Amen. They're never going to be able to relate to the spiritual happenings that go on behind the scenes until they are endowed with the Spirit of God and made children of God. But you, right now, as Jesus is, was, and is to be, you are. And such we are. For this reason, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know Him. Next. Beloved, now we are the children of God. Amen. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. Huh? But we know that when He appears, we will be like Him. Amen. Because we will see Him just as He is. Oof. Verse 3. And everybody who has this expectation, because that's what hope means. Everyone who has this expectation, this hope, fixed on Him, Knowing that this is who you are and what you were created to be and that you're God's children. It doesn't matter what the devil says or anybody else in this world says. Knowing that and knowing that you're part of his family, you have a respectable family. Knowing that, purify yourself. It says when you know that and you've got your and you know that you're in eternity and God created you from the dust of the earth and when you take your last breath, you're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He says when people know that, they purify themselves. He says purify himself just as he's pure. Why? Because we resemble him. God sees us like he sees Jesus. So he sees you, even though it may not be your actions right now, even though your body hasn't caught up, even though you hate the very thing you do, like Paul said. God goes like this. That doesn't matter. I'm looking at you like my son, and I'm expecting you to catch up. And one day when you stand before him, you'll be totally caught up. Until then, I expect to see you purifying yourself. Because he is pure. And the hope of expectation is that we'll see him just like he is, and then we'll be that whole thing. But until then, we got to read the word, hold each other accountable, live. Yes, the Old Testament law still applies. In spirit. The truth of it. God's character and integrity. That's all still good. Jesus fulfilled that word. He didn't abolish it. He nailed the penalty of sin to the cross, not obedience. We're to purify ourselves as he is pure because we are called children of God. This is who we are. If you didn't know that today, wake up and smell the roses. You're part of God's family. He wants to see you shine, heal, deliver. Have people have legs grow out and see people delivered from evil spirits and all of raising the dead. Jesus did it. He's his son. He says we can do it too as we mature and grow and he trusts us and we walk in that faith. But it's not going to happen passively. It's not going to happen as you sit back and live this Christian life as you think you're just going for a train ride. That's not how it works. We recognize who he is, what he says over us, and then we step out and we become who he says we are, calling those things that are not as though they are, because they are according to the Spirit. You got to catch this. God sees us right now as he sees Jesus, calling things that are not yet, which is us. Think about this. I'm translating the scripture. God sees us right now as he sees Jesus, calling things that are not yet, because we're not yet exactly like him, right? Us, as though they are. Like him. He's calling us who are not quite yet. And he's saying, yes, you are. I don't care about what that sin is. The blood covers it. I see you just like him. Now get on with it. He's calling things that are not us as though they are. He's calling it that way. And when God speaks, it is done. The devil cannot condemn you. Your friends cannot condemn you. It doesn't matter what the world thinks of you. It doesn't matter what the devil speaks to your ear when you're down and you sin and you do that stuff. You're covered by the blood. You're in the family of God. And God says you're just like Jesus. It won't be because you earned it. You're going to stand before him because of grace. First John 3:3 says, because God sees us as totally pure. He sees us. Is totally pure. Understand that you're not. Not in the natural. But your spirit, the natural is going to die and be left here. You're going to be up there with him, totally spirit. And he'll give you a new body. That totally spirit is seen as totally pure. Not because of your righteousness, because of Jesus's.
That's right.
So, here it is. Even though you're not really there yet, start becoming what I call you to be. That's the spirit of prophecy. When he talks about the spirit of prophecy, what's the spirit of prophecy? I'm calling those things that are not as though they are. That's the spirit of prophecy. I'm believing that because of who I am and because I'm going to become Jesus and one day I'm going to be that way. I can get there right now. He's equipped me. He's given me the Holy Spirit to look more and more like him every day. It's the spirit of prophecy. Purify yourself. He sees us like Jesus is, just like him. Act upon what you know to be true and purify yourself. Act upon what you know to be true. This is faith. Knowing isn't enough. Listen. Knowing isn't enough. Can you go back to 1 John 3, 1-3, Pam? just for a second. Because this is so important. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on you. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on you. You're children of God, such you are. Go to the next verse. Get this. Beloved, now we are children of God. We know that when he appears, we're going to be just like him because, again, we will see him just as he is. And one more time, verse 3. So purify yourself. Purify yourself. Get this scripture. Memorize this scripture. It's who you are. Knowing is not enough, though. We must be a doer of God's word. Listen. The word that is spoken over you, either prophetically or from the Logos in the word of God, you must be a doer. You must act in faith upon what God's word says upon you, or his word over you means nothing. You have 100% of the Holy Spirit in you, and you'll go to meet Jesus without ever acting upon it and never becoming a doer of the word. You've got to act on what he said. If he said it, then act on it. If he told you you're healed, then jump up and down on your leg. Amen. If you really want to believe it, let not that man who doubts receive that he'll believe anything from me. Either you believe I'm God and I can overcome your physical circumstances, or I'm not. And it's okay, you're still my son, you're still going to be in heaven with me, but you're not going to live the victorious life if you don't start stepping out in faith and acting upon the word that I speak over you, whether it's prophetically or whether it's in the Logos. You got to be a doer. James 1, 22 to 24. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. It's a delusion to think that you're going to gain anything without stepping out in faith on it. For if anybody is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. Wow. Okay, let's picture that. Look at yourself in the mirror. Once you've looked at yourself and you've gone away, you know, you've done your hair, you've got everything ready, you know what you look like, and you walk away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Wait a minute. Who am I? Get this, because now you know that other scripture. If you don't keep that before you, if you don't step out and be a doer of the word, the moment you're attacked by the world, the moment tribulation or anything comes your way, it's going to be as if you walked away and you're going, who am I? God, am I your son? Can I act in faith? Can I heal? Can I save? Can I deliver? Oh, it's intimidating. Someone's coming up for healing. I don't know if I can pray over them. You've forgotten what you look like in the mirror. Because now you're just hearing it over and over in your head, and you're not just simply saying, in the name of Jesus, walk with confidence and faith. That's what this scripture is saying. You look in the mirror, Jesus says, you come into church on Sunday morning, you hear from Pastor Scott and Pastor Don and Bert and all of those, Dan and everybody's preaching at you, hey, we're living in the New Testament. The gifts have not gone away. We're the righteousness of Christ. Doesn't matter what we've done in the past. If we're forgiven, if we're repentant, we have the gifts of the Spirit that can move and have their being right here in this body, and we can act on them. Oh, yeah, we're good hearers of the word. And then you just go like this. That's nice. And you never practice. You never go out and pray over anybody. You never even give God a chance to work. You go and you look in the mirror and you get pumped up on Sunday. Yeah, Pastor, that's who I am. And you step right out of here and it's like, ooh. Pretty intimidating. And then you base it on what I said in the beginning, your experience. You lay hands on that first person and they don't get up. Oh, see, I knew the gifts weren't for here today anymore. One or two successes. Hey, I just laid hands. I can walk in a hospital now and lay hands on anybody I want. Right? You're basing your successes and your failures of laying hands on or not laying hands on. It has nothing to do with you. It's the Spirit of God in you that touches the person. And when it's met by faith, and it's these other things that are in the Bible that you just can't ignore. The person coming up, you don't know them from Adam's house cap. They could be fornicating every night of the week and coming up and saying, I want to be healed. We do things so passively, and yes, if they're going to ask for prayer, we pray for them. But if nothing happens, there could be very much extenuating circumstances. They could be living like the devil, and God's going, I'm not touching that. Your responsibility is just that, to act upon what God has told you to do, or if somebody asks, and you know, you're a representative, you're going to do what you can. It's God's responsibility to actually make it grow and heal. That's right. You plant that seed, he makes it grow. Have you noticed that while you're regarding God's word or you're in an anointed church meeting, you know, where the preaching comes alive, you tend to understand who you really are in Christ? I mean, you get it, right? You're sitting underneath the teaching, whether it's here or it's a seminar, or you're reading a good book or you're into a good video, you know, of an anointed teacher. You know what it means. I mean, I get into that stuff all the time as much as I can. You leave the session ready to go out and stomp on the devil, but then you walk off and forget everything you heard because you didn't put it into practice. Folks, no more than learning all the plays in a playbook. It's Super Bowl day. I know it is, and you'll be out of here before then. I give Ryan the playbook and say, learn every play. This is how it goes. This is what's going on. This is how it runs. You know every play up, down, in, out. You memorize that book. You could tell me every player on that team what their assignment is. But you never get out on the field and you don't play. And so Dave, you know, comes the other team comes on the field and Ryan goes, okay, this is the play, everybody. Everybody know their assignment? Yeah. And you stand up there and you hike the ball and you're crushed. Because you never ran a play. You never practiced it. You never saw how it was going to play out. You had the blueprints. It's like getting the blueprints for a skyscraper or a house and stuff like that. And you never took a class. Try Christmas morning with a present that you never saw before. And mom comes up to your husband and says, put this together for our child. Some of you might limp along and get it. But others probably have a tail coming out of the nose and a nose out of the tail on some of these things. You got to practice, guys. It's not enough for you just to hear the message. You got to be the message. You got to practice the message. That's when God will reward you. That's when the little incidents of you getting somebody healed just once in a blue moon comes to maybe twice a week. And then from twice a week, it just starts happening in your life. Because so much is given, much is required. And God will trust you. And your faith will increase. And it'll begin to do important. And God, you know, people are going to be attracted to the anointing. Like bugs on a light. They're just going to come. Because the light's shining and the bugs come to that light. Why? Because they want that light. And you are the light of the world. Act upon God's word. Listen, the scripture is saying this. Unless you act upon God's word immediately, the devil will steal it from you when you get out there and have to face the circumstances of life. Right? Isn't that what we're saying here? Hearers only means the devil's going to come immediately when you walk out those double doors, and he's going to try to steal that faith from you as soon as you get out of here. Mark chapter 4. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Here's the translation Jesus gives a few verses later. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. There's your translation. It's not enough just to hear. Guys, we have got to start practicing what we preach. We've got to start putting the Word of God into practice. And remember, don't base it on any single experience or a failure that you have or whatever. That is not who you are. The devil wants you to go out there, lay hands on that first sick person, and they don't get well. Of course he does. Then he wants you to stop and never do it again. Because the next person that comes up in faith, boom. Not that that person didn't have faith. And if they didn't have faith, God can still overcome that because he's sovereign. Matter of fact, if you're really stumbling and bumbling and he thinks you really need it, he'll throw somebody in there that's not even saved to get healed just for your sake. Because Daddy loves you. And he wants you to operate. Go out on the field with your grandfather over here. Let him take you to Mexico. Let him take you down to South America or Africa. I guarantee you, you won't be just ineffectual here. Whether you like it or not, you will be thrown out of the boat and you will either sink or swim. But once again, even if you sink, don't base your whole existence on any one moment that you've either failed or you've been, you know, a good achiever in. It's who God says you are that matters. This is why journaling, taking notes, and even accountability is so vital for our follow-through, folks. That's why you're in a small, intimate church like this, because the accountability is high. You get into a bigger, and I'm not knocking bigger churches, but you know what? Most of the time you go in there, there's not a level of accountability there. There's just not that same intimacy. There's not that same level of exchange, if you will. The intimate exchange that occurs between God and us and here. You need that. It helps to keep you accountable. It helps you act on the word. And if you're not, people are going to say that. Hey, look, you know, come on. Again, it's like going to missions with Pastor Don. You know, come on. Go on. I'll help you. We have to start doing that to each other. We need to nudge each other. We need to sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron. That's how we grow. So take notes. Folks, the image that God puts forth in His Word about you is the image that you should have of yourself. And it should form the basis of your actions in life. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you think the circumstances requires it or not, if God has said it and He's told you to do it, even though you don't see how it could possibly come to pass, my advice to you would be is to do it. You got to cast down imaginations that put an image in you that is contrary to what God's Word says. So when you're out there and you know God told you to do this and to lay hands on that person over there who you know has just been a murderer and stealing fool, kind of like Paul, Saul, and he tells Ananias, hey, go over there and lay hands on this murderer and thieving fool. But God, I can't lay, he's been putting people in prayer, he's been doing that. And God said, Ananias, will you just trust me and go over there and do it? I'm sure Ananias came in and said, Saul, you there? Yeah, I'm here. Get over here. Lord, are you still? Right? You have got to cast down every thought, every imagination, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? What He's told you to do. Regardless of the circumstance, if God told you to do it, you can bank because God is greater. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You got to start trusting God. Don't trust your eyes and your feelings. I would even tell you not even to trust the immediate results. Just trust that God's going to do what He's going to do. And if He said they're going to be healed, then you're healed. Whether they're healed or not healed, they're healed. According to God, the rest is up to you. I know that seems kind of presumptuous. But God is a presumptuous God. We're not and shouldn't be, but He is. And Him in us should be. We're calling those things that are not as though they are. Not because we said they're going to be. It's because God said so, and we just trust in Him. So if we go down, it's because God's not showing up. We don't get any glory out of it anyway. We shouldn't be getting any glory out of it, so we shouldn't get any of the negative out of it either. If you're not getting all the glory for what you're about to do, then you shouldn't get any negative about what you're about to do, because God's, it's in His hands. Cast down anything that comes in your mind. I've learned this so much over the past 3 weeks. The mind has so much control over your body. Literally, you start thinking a thought and it can produce an immediate rise in temperature. It can take you from a heartbeat that's going 60 a minute to 180 a minute in a split second. Your mind changing the way it thinks based on what you see and hear can change your systemic bodily functions in a heartbeat, literally. So if your mind has that much control over your body, just think of how much spirit control you can have if you set your spirit up against your soul. So that when that thought comes in and it says what it's going about to say to you and you're about to step into that sin, you take that thought down in the name of Jesus, you stick Jesus in your Bible like this and you look at His picture and you start quoting Scripture and you run from whatever it is you're about to engage in. I'm just giving you some practical. It'd be real hard for you to follow through with sin looking at this. Or calling a friend in a moment of weakness and you know you're about to go. You're getting ready to, here it goes. Phone a friend. Look at a picture of Jesus. Whatever you do, cast down, pull down, be aggressive. Take down those imaginations. Take down those thoughts that are contrary to God's Word. You're in a war. You're doing battle, folks, and it's a battle of the mind. Satan is in that middle of that mind of yours, and he's trying to tell you who you are not or who you are. And you can't take your image of who from him.
That's right.
You're going to get this. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We're destroying. Are you destroying or are you just allowing things to go into your mind and stay there? When you know you're working yourself up into a fret or a worry or a negative situation, when you know you're heading down that line, stop. Count to 10. Look at Jesus. Quote some scripture. Phone a friend. We're destroying speculations. Every lofty thing raised up against what? The knowledge of God. What God says in His Word, in His prophecy, in His people speaking over your life. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If it does not match what God has said that who we are and what we're to do, then you got to throw it away. And you got to live in that world for a while for it to take. You must cast down thoughts the devil brings to you concerning your old nature. That's the bottom line. Listen. You must cast down thoughts that are contrary to what you've already learned in life, what you've already experienced in life that is not of God. And there's plenty of it. coming out of the gate from birth. That's what the four-year health is all about. All those things that said, this is who you are. All those failures, all those missed opportunities, all those times where God, the Father, your Father, your family Father, maybe you didn't represent Father God well. All those experiences that you took in that said that you are worthless, that you are rejected, that you are unloved, that you are bitter, that you are accusatory, that you're just this nasty person. And maybe that is who some of you were, but that is not who you are. So you've got to take those thoughts that Satan still wants to put there at this point in your life, pull them down, pull in God's word, let him bring you the truth, and it'll set you free. Not free to sit there and go, I'm waiting, Lord, come on back. Set you free to take on the very image that God said you are, to rule and reign with Christ now. Taking authority over your situations now. Promoting healing in the world now. What's the gift of healing going to do up in heaven when it's going to be there all the time? It's needed here. You must cast down thoughts and develop the new nature. Cast down the thoughts, bringing up your old nature. Tell the devil he doesn't know what he's talking about. That's the way you were, but it's not who you are. And develop the new nature, the new image that God has what? Deposited within you. And folks, it's a process. Therefore, if anybody's in Christ, are you? Well, if you are, you're a new creature. Well, not yet. That's right. I'm calling that which I'm not as if I am already. Because I am spiritually. I'm brand new spiritually. My soul just has to catch up. That's sanctification. That's transformation. That's focusing on God and pulling down strongholds and becoming who you are. You're like a cocoon. You're like a little, what was it, a caterpillar to start out? Becoming a butterfly. You've got to realize that. That God made the caterpillar and the butterfly. And he made the caterpillar become a butterfly out of the natural processes in life. Well, now think of the spiritual processes in life and think of what God breathed into you. And he gave you the Holy Spirit. And he told you that's who you were. Don't take any more thought on that. Pull it down. This is who you are. Act like who you are. Go out and do what I told you to do. And those that have that kind of faith are going to move mountains. And those that are going to, other ones will move little pebbles. But we're still going to be counted as righteous in God's sight. Still going to be accepted in his kingdom, but maybe not have as many victories as others. Praise God, we're all in this boat together. Some people are going to step out like Peter and walk out of that boat, and some are going to stay in because it's really stormy. That's just the way it is. There are a lot of guys in that boat, and only one got out. There were a lot of people pulling at the hem of Jesus' garment, but only one got healed. Think about that. Second Corinthians 5:17, did I read that, Pam? We have God living in us. We have God living in us. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. According to his glorious might. We are strengthened with all power. Do you understand that? Where does all power come from? God. Where does God live and reside? Yeah. That's what he says. You know, he didn't just jump down here bodily in us. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He sent his spirit to live inside of us, just as Jesus lived in the spirit while he was here as a man. God's might and God's power resides within you. Colossians 1:9-14. For this reason also, since the day that we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Wow. We got saints praying for us. So that you will do what? Talk in a manner? So that we're able to, hey, we got a knowledge. We can talk about God all day long. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in every respect. For without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. Faith involves action. Hearing and action. Bearing fruit. That's another way that we recognize we're Christians. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. When I look at somebody and they're increasing in God's knowledge and they're bearing fruit, I know that they're a Christian. When I see somebody going in the opposite direction, I'm wondering if they have a real relationship with God or they're just looking for their ticket to salvation. Who else are we? We're strengthened with all power. According to who? according to His glorious might, for the attaining, for the getting, for the opportunity of all steadfastness and patience. See, it's there. You may not be patient now, but it's right there for you. It's wide open saying, come get me. I'm right living inside of you. Just let me out, let me out, let me out. You have patience living in you that says, let me out, let me out, let me out. But you have a competing factor. The devil's in there going, no, you don't. You hate that person. You can't stand that person. Hold that offense. You have a right. They hurt you. Cut them to the quick. Amen. And then there's that other person that says, but you are strengthened according to His glorious might. And Jesus turned the other cheek, so I want you to turn the other cheek. Love them. Be patient. They're screaming at you. Don't answer back. Don't engage. Disengage. Who are you going to listen to? That's the Christian life. As you begin to see, put your focus on Him, you're going to be strengthened with all of His power, all of His glorious might, for the attaining of steadfastness, patience, and joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Notice that you are unqualified. You are unqualified in and of yourself. I don't care how much training you have. I don't care how much of the Bible you know. I don't care how much goody two-shoes you've been all your life. You were born into unqualification because of what Adam did. And when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit comes in, you're qualified. Amen. To share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Capital L-I-G-H-T, God is light. For He rescued us. Did He? Yes, sir. From the domain of darkness. We were born into it and transferred us to the kingdom. That means the rule. Oh. The rule. He transferred us. We're already in the rule. Not one day. When you accepted Him into your heart and the Spirit came to live, the power of God, His glorious might came to live in you, and you were transferred into the kingdom rule of His beloved Son Jesus. Because He said when He left, now go and do likewise. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Huh? But you're where are you going, Jesus? Don't worry, it's better that I go, because I'm going to send you the power that I had from on high. You'll be equipped as I was equipped. Amen. I'm one man, I'm one person, I'm down there with you, I can do things at one time here. But the Holy Spirit will be everywhere. Amen. Don't confine me to this mortal body. Then I can only work from Nazareth to Jerusalem to wherever I go. But when the Spirit comes, you can go over all the earth and preach the gospel to Jerusalem and all the uttermost parts of the earth, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of God. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. The Scripture should come alive in you, in whom we have redemption. This Jesus in whom we have been redeemed, purchased, bought back from the devil, in God's family. This is who you are. Don't let those hounds of hell tell you who you aren't. Reject the thought. Pull it down. Step out in faith and be who God called you to be. And yes, even if today's the first day of the rest of your life, no matter what a track record you had in your past, you asked Jesus into your heart and you got all of heaven's power behind you. And yes, you can do miracles today. You can go out and heal and deliver today, because God's power is not dependent on how long you've had them. When Big Brother's standing there, it don't matter whether you've had him here for a day or 5 years, he's still going to punch the lights out of those coming against you. Hallelujah. You got forgiveness of sins, even better. Boy, if you could just believe and act on this truth, the book of Acts would come alive again, Pastor Don. The book of Acts would just come alive. It'd be more than words on a page that we hear. We walk out those double doors and we act upon the ones that did it the first time. Remember what we said last time about the testimony? What does the testimony mean? Do it again. The word of our testimony means we're trusting that God did it before, and He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He'll do it again. If He could use those disciples in miraculous ways, He'll do it again. He's not saving the church to be this little quiet thing in the end times, lacking warfare and inability to go out and do what the early guys did. We're supposed to be strengthened. We're supposed to have gained momentum. The church today should look far greater than it did in the beginnings. Anything works that way. God's a God of increase. He's not a God of decrease. Think about that. God in Genesis tells us that everything produces after its own kind, right? Genesis tells us that everything produces after its own kind, and that we as His children are produced after His kind. Where we were made, you and I walk around on this earth having been formed, produced out of the likeness after the kind that God is. If I walk down to Spartanburg and I go into the Honda place, you know, or I go into the Volkswagen place, I could look at them little bugs, or I could look at those Jettas, or I could go on beyond. Look, there's certain kinds that are out there that are developed after their own kind. You know, the Volkswagen isn't going to be, you know, BMW is not going to produce a Volkswagen. So if you're of the BMW family, we may all look different, but we're of the same kind. We're of the same family, made by the same manufacturer, with all the same inherent qualities. The Bible uses words. Listen. And the Bible uses words to give us an image, does it not? When you paint a picture for somebody and you tell them where the plane is over in the airport, and it's blue and it's covered with this and covered with that, when you get to the airport, what are you looking for? The image that was placed in you by words. You've never seen the plane before. The only reason you're going to recognize and get in the plane that you're supposed to be on is because somebody told you it was at gate 5. It was Delta with that big thing on the side of it. And what do? You got your ticket, but I'm guaranteed if you're like me, I'm walking down a plank, I'm looking at the outside of the plane that says Delta. Because I know how that can get screwed up by people. But the only reason you know what you're looking for, folks, is that you have an image that is painted in your mind by words. The Bible paints images in our mind through words, the Word of God. And again, the words give us an image of what kind we are, because words produce these images. Again, you just got to believe God. And that's what God's trying to do for us. Just like I would try to describe for you a situation like the plane, God is attempting with all and everything that he has at his disposal to get you to cast down imaginations, to believe that you are who God says you are, and to step out in faith. Because why? It pleases him. It does not please him to watch you sit complacently by and let the devil stomp all over you, and to be sick and to be not delivered and to walk without strength and not be able to witness. That does not please your Father. He loves you. You're still going to heaven. But he is so pleased when there are those that will say, I believe what you said, God. And I'm just daring enough to go out there and do what you told me to do, Daddy. I guarantee you all the angels of heaven are probably having a party when that happens. And they're going, see, we already know about Job. We all know God looks to and fro over all the earth to look to see if someone's following what he wants them to do. And he did. And he saw Job and he said, hey, devil, look at Job. Check him out. He's, oh man, is he doing what I want him to do or whatever? Oh, it's only because there's that condemnation and stuff like that. But God is praying that, hey, Job knows me so well that even though he might look like he's not feeling well, and even though he might have a little pain, and even though his family would say, even though everything on the earth would disappear, the rocks cry out, even the mountains fall into the depths of the sea, the man with the Spirit of God in him knows that although even though the earth may pass away and all that there is therein, my hope and trust is in the Lord. David said it and Job said it. I don't think we're going to go through a Job experience, although in some way and measure and form we all are. Because the world just brings that to us. The world has nothing good to give us. The world. But God in the world has everything to give us. And it will be taken back for him immediately upon the second coming of Jesus Christ. God describes us, let me wind this up. God describes us in such detail in his words so that he will get that image inside of us. The reason you get detail after detail after detail, even in the Old Testament, when you read through Deuteronomy and Leviticus and go, Pastor, why do I have to read those books? It's just detail after detail after detail. Because if you study it, if you meditate on it, if you really look past all what it seems to be on the outside, which is boring, you will see God. You will see his detail. You will see that the New Testament is a mirror image of the Old Testament, but in a new form. I'm telling you, God is trying to give such detail in his word so that we'll get the image back inside of us, believe it, and become what God says we are. That way the devil won't have any trouble recognizing the authority given to us by the Lord. See, he wants, when the devil comes up and you step into a room, he wants him running. The devil will have no problem recognizing God's authority in you because you know who you are in Christ. And devil, we tell you to shut up in Jesus' name. Even when the person's acting out and they're flailing all across the floor, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be quiet. When you start seeing those things as you're stepping out, because you're never going to do it unless you do it. You're going to get scared. You're going to come up trembling like this. And the first time you may get pounded a little bit, so take a brother with you. Take a big brother with you who's got the faith. Right? We're supposed to walk each other and go out in pairs. I think that's why Jesus told us to go out in pairs, because he knows, hey, somebody's got to take the lead. Now you go. No, you go. You and Brett used to do it all the time. Go ahead, Brett, you go. And sometimes Brett would do that to you. It's natural. But that's why we need mentors. That's why we need spiritual fathers. That's why we need people like Pastor Don that will throw you out of the boat. Because he realizes that without function, without doing, without becoming a doer of the word, all we're going to do is an effectual hear, and we're going to watch other people do it, and we're going to miss the joy of living that totally victorious, powerful, abundant life in God. Amen. When people see that there's Christians around and they're operating in faith, they should be drawn like bugs to a flame. Instead, they're looking at the Christian church and they're going, man, look at the contradictions that they're living in. And look at the lack of power. And look at the hypocrisy. And look at how they're falling left and right. That's what's being said out there. Not in every church. We're here to represent Jesus to the world. How are you doing it? How are you equipped to do it? So here we go. Let's start speaking forth who you are in Christ by faith. Such as this. Thank you, God, I have dominion over my circumstance. Thank you, God, I have authority over the enemy's attack on my health. Thank you, God, you fill in the word. And then act on what you believe immediately without wavering between two opinions. Here it is. The greater the faith you have in God's word over your life, I'm going to say it again. The greater the faith that you have in God's word over your life, the quicker the manifestations will come. That means, you know, yeah, some of us trail a little bit in that, and we don't have that as much faith and stuff like that. Doesn't mean it's not still going to happen. But I'm here to tell you that the greater faith you have in God's word over your life, you will see the manifestations of that come quicker. We observe it. It's like science. We observe it. We see the fruit of it. Same principle holds true for fear. The greater the level of fear you embrace, in other words, the image you hold that Satan's painted and you receive it, the quicker the manifestation will come. Amen to that. If you think you're going to get sick, by God, you're going to get sick. If you think that you're going to, right? The same way, folks, the same way faith works, fear works. Amen. Whatever image you hold is what's going to come to pass. Hallelujah. Have you seen people get a diagnosis of cancer by the doctors many times? They die quickly right after the report comes because they received it as their own instead of cursing it and speaking life over themselves and God. It's a principle. Just throwing at you the word of God. If God says we have dominion over all the earth, I believe he means it. Jesus illustrated it with the cursing of the fig tree, remember? You've got authority or you don't. How much more should we speak against the enemy's assignments against us? Last thing here. Charles Capp quoted the Bible, and this is what he said. I love concluding with this. Listen. He said this, we have dominion over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. We have dominion over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That's what the Word of God says in Genesis. Folks, don't let a creep get you all upset. You have dominion over creeps. That's what he's saying. You have been made in God's image. We need to act like it. So here's our prayer. As we close the service, Pam, we're going to play this video. And you need to listen to this. And you need to stand up. And you just need to be who God created you to be. Here's the prayer. And here's the name of the song. And it's by Hillsong. Wake within me. Wake within me. What does that mean? This is who God says you are. This is who God says you are. So, Lord, wake, O sleeper. Wake. Open the doors wide into the kingdom and begin walking in the dominion that God has given you. Amen? Amen. Jesus.